For the rest of us, we are going to start this morning with a bit of a shared experience. I've got a video that I'm going to show you and give you a little heads up. So it's a little bit long, or at least a little bit longer than what I might show, and I don't show videos very often, so whatever that means. But I want to encourage you not to get distracted. Don't worry yet about why I'm showing you the video, how it's going to connect, anything like that. Just experience it, all right? So this video is a clip from Britain's Got Talent. And we'll watch it through to the end where the judges have responded, and then I'll talk some more. So let's watch this together.
Big deep breath. We can do this.
Hello.
Hi there. Hello.
What's your name?
I'm Dermot Parley, and I'm the head teacher of Flake Flea Primary School, and this is our choir.
Hi.
Hello.
So tell me a little bit about the choir and how long they've been singing together.
Probably since September. We're a real eclectic group. We've got ranges from 4 all the way through to 11. Some are amazing singers. Some are just enthusiastic. I'm not being...
That's a nice way of putting it.
No. Do you know what?
I'm going to use that in future.
That is funny.
You were enthusiastic.
So what's the big dream for this choir?
Reading and writing is important at school, but the kids had a dream. This one in assembly said she wanted to go on Britain's Got Talent, and here we are.
Amazing. What's your name?
Megan.
How old are you, Megan?
7.
7. And why did you want to come on Britain's Got Talent?
Because I love singing.
Oh, darling. Oh, well, we're all rooting for you. Good luck.
Thank you very much. We good? Yeah.
I'm just going to
go and conduct. Really proud of you, whatever you've done. Right? You're amazing kids. Let's go for it. Yeah? Smile.
Thank you.
tears. Press the gold, David, press the gold!
It's so moving, I don't know why it's so moving.
Oh my God, it shook me.
That was absolute chaos and absolute joy. Thank you so much. Simon, what did you think?
I think you are so important to kids this age to remind them, you know, to have fun. Your joy that you radiated is infectious. And this, to me, is what Britain's Got Talent is all about. David.
It's just one of the most joyous things I've ever seen. And I think you've just made all our hearts sore today. And it's what you want your childhood to have been like and what you want your children's childhood to be like, which is just full of unbridled joy. So this is what I think. Teacher.
You're a great, great teacher.
Well done, everybody. Here they are, ladies and gentlemen. Well done. Well done in there. Come on. Come on. Ah, here he is. He was stuck in the bin. He was stuck in the bin. He was stuck in there. Well done, guys.
I'm not crying, you're crying. So let me tell you why I wanted you to experience this video this morning. And there are actually three reasons. The first is that I just wanted to share with you an experience that I had. When I first watched this video, I was completely taken off guard by what had just happened. It was such, right, an explosion of joy and of delight. From the moment it starts, it just takes one surprising turn after another. I remember thinking that it was all over. And then the kid is swimming in the golden confetti. And then the kid gets lifted out of the trash can, or the bin, as they refer to it in Britain. And this experience was just pure delight over and over. And I was legitimately moved, and it made me laugh and cry, and it was just insane fun. And the moment the video ended, the first time I watched it, I didn't even have to think about what to do next. I immediately shared it with as many people as I could on social media, because we share things that move us, don't we? The second reason I shared this video is because not everyone gets it. I won't make you out yourself this morning, but if you didn't really enjoy that video, it's okay. I mean, you might not have a heart, but really, you're fine. Mostly kidding, but according, I kid you not, to a cognitive neuroscientist who studies the emotional effect that songs have on us, the song in the video, Don't Stop Me Now by Queen, according to their scale, their metric, the way that they sort of decide this, is the world's most uplifting song ever. After I watched the video, I accidentally noticed some of the comments on the video, and I was floored. One person commented that the performance was just mediocre. Another that David, one of the judges, totally wasted his golden buzzer. Several others criticized the performance, and I was like, baffled. Like, who could watch that video and be unmoved? Who could look at the complete happiness of children having the time of their life and simply shrug, meh? I wanted to share an experience with you, but I understand that not everyone will get it. And this brings me to the third reason I shared the video. This video reminded me of our passage this morning for a few reasons. And I want to read it again for us just so that we can hear it one more time. Luke chapter 20, so and I want to start a couple verses early just to kind of give us a little context leading into it. But Luke chapter 23, starting in verse 54, we read, "It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath day, they rested according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day and on the third day rise.' And they remembered Jesus' words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed like an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home, marveling at what had happened." Crammed into these 12 short verses is just one surprise after another. Each surprise with all sorts of joy. Delight is just packed into this incredible event. I mean, can you connect? Can you connect with the surprise, the shock, the disorientation of seeing the massive stone rolled away and then finding Jesus' body, the body that you had seen laid there just a couple days earlier, now missing? And then two men dazzling in apparel. Can you hear the laughter behind the question asked by the two men? Why do you seek the living among the dead? Can you feel the tears? The tears of incredible grief. If you've ever lost anybody, you know this grief that in an instant turned to tears of joy as they drop their death spices and they take up the message of life. Can you imagine the cartoon light bulb going on over their heads, the heads of the women, as they listen to these dazzling men and remember the words that Jesus had spoken? Can you grasp the sort of delightful irony of women declaring the truth in a culture that did not value or trust the word of a woman or even two? And then can you see Peter running to the tomb, looking into the tomb, and then just walking away confused and a bit of a dazed stupor, right? Every moment and every line of this story comes with some sort of surprise detail. And it's told this way on purpose so that we might experience the delight that comes with discovering this good news that he has risen. I mean, and you can see it in the women. The moment they remember, Jesus told them this was going to happen, and now they have seen it for themselves. At least they've seen enough for themselves. They don't even need to see Jesus alive. Jesus hasn't even appeared to them physically yet, but they believe. They've got the empty tomb, they've got these two dazzling figures, and they've got Jesus's word, and they seem to understand that everything changes now. And so they return to their friends, the fellow followers of Jesus, to announce what has happened. And they just can't seem to help it. This is what you do. This is what they do. They've had an experience that they can't keep to themselves. It has to be shared with others. And so this group of women, they come back to where the disciples all seem to have been staying, and we're told that they told all these things. The spices, the stone, the empty tomb, the men dazzling in appearance, the words that Jesus spoke, all of it. Nothing gets left out. It was all part of the experience of discovering that Jesus had been raised from the dead. When I read this story, I often wonder what it takes for us, what it would take for us to experience it as well, to really experience it so that this story is our story to share. So that, like the women, we just have to tell all of these things. Because, I mean, we read it. Every year we read it, sometimes multiple times during the year, and we're used to reading stuff. But I wonder if we ever experience in these words an encounter with the living God who raises the dead. Do we ever come to this story and discover that the God who raised Jesus from the dead also speaks new life from printed words? And so, have you ever met God in this story, alive and full of power? I wonder this because sometimes it seems that this story is the story that Christians are the most afraid to tell. The other day, I saw an ad for an Easter service from a huge mega church in the South. And the picture was this huge panorama, and the church building was in the back, and there were hundreds of people lined up, and in front of them was this huge grass field, and the field was filled with brightly colored Easter eggs, and there was someone standing right in the middle of the field in an Easter bunny costume like this, and overhead in the picture was this giant helicopter just flying above. I have no idea what the purpose of the helicopter was. It didn't say on the picture. It was just an helicopter. But this was the ad. The whole thing, come to our church on Sunday morning and see a helicopter and a bunch of people and the Easter bunny and join us for an Easter egg hunt. And I have to be honest, I wasn't surprised by the ad. Not after last year. If you can't tell, I love Resurrection Sunday a lot. This is one of my favorite days of the entire year. I love that our family gets up early and goes to a park at sunrise with several other families to celebrate and to share the story. I love standing up here and proclaiming that Jesus has been raised from the dead, and that because of that, death no longer rules over us, and that sin no longer has any power over us. And did I mention that our God raises the dead? I love to announce this news. It's easily one of my favorite things about being a pastor. And I was soaring last year after our service together, our day together. And then later that evening, I was lying on the couch scrolling through Facebook when I saw it, and several of you know what I'm referring to because I forwarded it to you because I was bothered by it. A church where I have dear friends and a church that's doing faithful work for Jesus posted a video of their service where their worship leaders had written a special song for the morning. And they had gotten help from their kids. And it was cute and it was adorable. But in total, their service was filled with an almost 10-minute ode to the Easter Bunny and egg hunts with Jesus' name sprinkled in. And when I thought I had reached my limit, someone comes out dancing in an Easter Bunny suit playing a saxophone, and the crowd went wild, and I just to be honest with you, I just grieved. And I sent this out to a few people, partly just wondering, am I crazy to be so bothered? You know me. Most of you know me. You know that I want to have fun as much as the next kid in the room. You know that I love to laugh and to be silly. You know that I look for those joyful, meaningful experiences that we can all share together. But friends, the resurrection of Jesus doesn't need any help being fun. The resurrection of Jesus doesn't need any help being filled with delight and wonder. Like, what are we doing when we dress the resurrection up with helicopters and saxophone playing Easter bunnies? Do you know today how amazing the resurrection of Jesus is? It's the moment, like the moment in history when God punches death in the face. Like if you like fail videos or America's Home Videos, you know those videos where people like fall or mess up, trip, maybe hurt themselves. I admit that Beck and I sometimes laugh hysterically at them. Then we confess that afterwards. The resurrection is like a giant fail video. The enemies of God have come together. They formed a plan to kill, to murder the Son of God. They thought they could stop God by stopping his Son. They would destroy him with the one thing that has worked on every human being who has ever lived. You don't like somebody, you kill them. Because what then? They're gone. That would shut him up. That would show God who really runs the world. And then Jesus dies. The plan works perfectly. The so-called king of the Jews hung on a cross, unable to save himself. Or so they thought. And then 3 days later, he bursts out of the grave. The grave could not hold him. This is what we declare. Not only was Jesus king of the Jews, but he's king of the grave. He's king of the whole world. Nothing can stop a power that raises the dead. And so, a question, do you know the power of the resurrection in your life? Have you seen it? Have you experienced it? See, I know many of your stories, as you know me. This room is filled with resurrection power and stories of resurrection power. God's ability to raise the dead is in you. It is in us. Many of you have experienced resurrection power as you've been set free from addictions. Many of you have experienced resurrection power as God has enabled you to forgive. Many of you have given away ridiculous amounts of your stuff to meet the needs of others because of God's resurrection power in you. Many of you have been set free from the idols of sex and money and power. Many of you have found the strength to live in the midst of grief because of resurrection power in you. But none of this is about simply being better people. You know that, right? You know that Jesus wasn't raised from the dead so that we could use his power to be good. these signs of resurrection power in us, these signs that we have been raised to new life. Jesus was raised from the dead so that we could be made alive. The women at the tomb remember what Jesus told them. Things like the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life in its fullness. And why wouldn't you run to tell everyone everything that has happened when the Jesus who has promised you life has now attained it through the power of God? I know one of the reasons why we hold back, right? One of the reasons why we don't tell people about the resurrection and this power. Mary and Joanna and the other Mary and the other women tell the apostles what happened. And to the apostles, the people who have spent 3 years with Jesus, the people who had heard the very same words from Jesus, to them, resurrection sounded like an idle tale. Remember, these are people who had heard Jesus speaking about resurrection. They're like, huh? That sounds crazy. And they did not believe. Even when Peter runs and looks for himself, he marvels at what has happened, but he isn't ready to accept it or walk in it. And sometimes I think we forget that from the earliest days, people have struggled to believe the good news that Jesus has been raised from the dead. Sometimes we're tempted to believe that we're smarter 2,000 years later. We're more advanced. We know more stuff. But you've heard me say this before. In their world, 2,000 years ago, every bit as much as ours, the death rate still is 100%. 100% of the time, people die and stay dead. That's not changed. And so we're not any smarter. They had just as much trouble in the first century hearing this and believing this. Jesus's closest friends, even after telling them that this was going to happen, that this might be a possibility, can't even fathom it. They can't believe it. And this is the way that life is. Things happen in our lives that just need to be shared. Sometimes it's simple stuff. Simple things that bring us joy and delight. Sometimes it's a fun YouTube video. But then there's the stuff of real life, abundant life, everlasting life, full life. It just has to be shared. If it has had its way in us in any way, if we understand what we've come into contact with, if we have some sense of the power that we've just encountered, we just can't help but share it. But we have to remember that there will always be some who just won't get it. Now we know Peter and the disciples will, and so that doesn't mean that they won't always get it. But that doesn't keep us from sharing. If you know that the power of God to raise the dead is real, if you've experienced that power in your own life, how could you not offer that to others to come and find life and know life and walk alive with Jesus? You know, one of the people who gave his entire life to sharing this story was a guy named Paul. And many of you are familiar with Paul and his story. But he said in one of his letters, listen, if you will confess, if you'll speak with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that he is king over the heavens and the earth, and even the grave, that he's king over all things. And if you will believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be, and it depends on your translation. Often it says saved, but that's the same word that the Gospels use to describe Jesus' healings. You will be healed. You will be saved. You will be healed. You will be raised to new life. You will be set free from death. This morning, is God giving you the ability to see and believe? Are you finding yourself this morning delighted, surprised by, overjoyed by the good news that the tomb is empty? If so, then will you today entrust your life to Jesus? Or continue to walk with him? We gathered this morning to celebrate the resurrection, but we have to remember what it took for Jesus to get there. Jesus is not only power over death, but he is love. So that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. For every single one of us, he took our place. He suffered on our behalf. He gave himself as an offering for our sin. He forgave us all before we could do anything, before we could move toward him. But the amazing story, the amazing truth about this weekend that we celebrate is that Jesus doesn't stop at forgiving us, at forgiving our sins, but he also has acted to undo the power of sin in our lives. Like God setting his people free from their captivity in Egypt, so the death of Jesus has broken the bonds of our slavery to sin. Just as the stone was rolled away from the tomb, releasing the raised body of Jesus, so we too are being released from the grave that holds our lives captive. This is what God has done for us because of his great love for us. And so will we listen to his voice today? Will we hear and experience the living words of a living God as he calls us out of slavery to walk with him, but also to join him at his table? And we're going to come together around his table this morning, reminded that we have been set free for fellowship with God, that God has made us alive so that we might be connected to him as the source of our life. And so we join him at his table for friendship, for fellowship, but we also join him at his table so that he can nourish us. And we're reminded that the bread and the cup are his way of continuing to nourish our lives so that we remember, so that we live out of the truth that he has given everything for us so that we might have life and have life to the full. Amen.